This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. I'm here with, if you're just joining us, Brian Isla, the Deer Project Leader for Maryland Department of Natural Resources Deer Program. We've got Phil Norman here temporarily. He's got to roll out pretty soon with the Howard County Deer Management Program. And we've got, what's your name again? Matt Wilson with Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry.
That's right. Alan, good job.
Thank you very much. I remembered. Yeah, well, it's hard to forget. You're sitting right there. So anyway, we've been promoting not only Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry here on the Outdoors and Radio Show, but also the Doe Harvest Challenge. And we talked about that the first hour. But, Brian, we've had an increase over the last several years as the General Assembly keeps going and people keep lobbying their lawmakers, the local lawmakers, an increase in hunting on Sundays in Maryland.
Yeah.
I believe that was 10, 12 years ago?
Yeah, about 2003 or so.
When that started 10 years ago, the first Sunday hunting in 350 years in Maryland.
Yep.
And what a battle that was to get Sunday hunting at all.
Yeah.
And now the way it works is it's all piecemeal. It's by, you know, your county delegation.
Correct.
So to speak, county by county by county. We have, what, three counties that don't have any Sunday hunting?
Currently there's three. We don't decide what counties are going to have Sunday hunting or
the Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage. Yeah, it's all done in the General Assembly.
Yeah, it's all done in the General Assembly, and like you said, it's driven by at the county level.
Right.
And we have. I mean, every year since it's been introduced, we've added either more Sundays or more counties or whatever.
Yeah, and, for both deer and turkey hunting.
And turkeys now, correct? Yeah, and from a deer standpoint, I mean, that's probably one of the more valuable additions we've made to help in control
for the management.
Yeah. Deer management. And it also is more opportunity for hunters.
Sure.
Yeah, you talk about the Doe Harvest Challenge. You talk about crop damage issues. Sunday hunting is very important and helps a lot in that standpoint.
Number of the counties that have Sunday hunting on Youth Day is also vital because
Correct.
The kids are able to go out and have another opportunity. I'm familiar with one group in Montgomery County. The youngsters were there, and I don't know how many total kids were there. I know they in 2 days they took 17 deer. And every kid that participated got a buck,
which was great. Yeah, yeah.
And the parents and relatives all get together. They drive the deer. They help the kids get them out of the woods. I mean, it's a real, real community effort over there.
Yeah.
And one evening last week, we were talking to the coordinator of the whole deal, and he said, We're trying to take a group picture here of all the kids and all the deer, and there's probably 40 people standing here, and you drive up to the guy's headquarters, so to speak, little place there, and there's, 15, 20 pickup trucks. And I mean, it's a real community effort. It's great
as far as good.
Yeah.
In
Montgomery County, you don't think that there's, Montgomery County, Garrett County, Allegheny County, Washington County, the deer camps and all that. But this was pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
we
good
have
deal.
Strong hunting ties,
yeah.
in every county.
Sure,
still,
sure.
I mean, yeah. So, but yeah, as far as the Sunday deal goes.
Yeah, let's.
Last year, Carroll County passed a bill, and so
in the past General Assembly.
Okay. It gave us the most authority that we've had yet for Sunday setting Sundays. And basically it gave us the discretion to pick which Sundays. From October to the second Sunday in January, I think. And hopefully we'll see more counties follow that model.
Yeah.
Because that, it gives us a little bit more ability to tailor what Sundays and, that'll be most effective. And like for Carroll County this year, they're going to have, we decided the two Sundays in late muzzleloader season.
Yeah.
And then also the Sunday of the January two-day firearm season. Carroll County, they'll be able to hunt
those
Sundays.
That'll be 3 days.
Yeah.
And, okay.
So that'll definitely help the deer kill.
Sure.
We have a really active crop damage program in Maryland. And honestly, a lot of counties take more deer on Sundays than they do with crop damage for the whole year on crop damage permits. So the average hunter today really doesn't hunt through the week. They're weekend warriors.
They're weekend warriors, that's the purpose for this show, so being on a Saturday at 5 to 7 a.m. We want to reach as many as possible.
For a lot of hunters, with those Sundays, you're increasing their hunting opportunity 100%.
Sure, exactly.
I mean, is what it comes down to.
Yep. Double the man hours in one day.
So we're, hopefully as time goes on, we'll see, where we get more of, the authority to set these.
Now we could just get Howard County to expand their management program on the... Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize Phil was still here.
Yeah, Howard, Baltimore, and Prince George's
are
the three counties that don't have any Sunday hunting at this point.
Yep.
Hunters,
by the way, that's your fault. Seriously. I mean, Pat McDonough is a frequent fill-in host here and has his own show here on WCBM, and spoke to him about this issue directly, face-to-face. I said, Pat, what happened to Sunday hunting? And I believe he's the chairman of that committee, the environmental committee, and I believe, I might be wrong on that, but he said, I don't hear from the hunters. I hear from the anti-hunters, but I don't hear from the hunters.
Right.
So, hunters got to take a role in their own...
Everybody likes their weekends.
Sure.
So, I mean, there is opposition to it. There's no
of course
question
there is
opposition
sure
to
there
it.
Is.
So it's just a matter of balancing it and,
Correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but at least in most counties where there is Sunday hunting now, it's only on private land, isn't it?
Correct.
That bird watchers, other people who want to get out and walk in the natural areas,
public
in the woods
areas,
and so on,
sure, absolutely,
can still go out and enjoy public land safely.
Yep.
Yeah, it's only
and we don't have problem with those folks riding horseback. Hunters don't have problems with the folks riding horseback, bird watching, hiking, biking, backpacking, kayaking in general.
Yeah,
please understand that there is a certain part of the year that does belong to the hunters who pretty much paid for that land.
Yeah, and the main message needs to be that hunting's one of the safest sports there is.
Exactly.
We don't have, we don't have injuries from hunters to non-hunters on public land.
No.
Monday through Saturday.
Nope. Exactly.
So I don't know why, necessarily Sunday would be any different. I think the main message needs to be, just needs to be recognized that hunting's a safe sport.
Hunting is a safe sport.
Yeah.
And
we have, we have public lands that can use some more deer management.
Sure.
No question about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So anybody else want to weigh in on Sunday hunting? I'm sure that helps the donation program too, Matt.
Yeah, it certainly does. I mean, on a practical level, if you're increasing the time that hunters are in the woods, then that is going to allow more deer to be harvested and donated.
More harvested, donated deer, and that there is an opportunity. Let's say you're out there on Saturday, first day, today, you take a nice buck, you take a doe for the freezer, you want to continue to hunt on Sunday, you take another doe, you donate it to the program.
Yep.
Why not? I mean, there's an outlet for you, for increased opportunity, more time with the kids in the stand. You can teach some valuable lessons. That's true.
I grew up and started hunting in New York State. And in the counties where I lived, Sunday hunting was always allowed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not at all uncommon to have folks go out and harvest a few ducks or harvest a deer Sunday morning before church, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock service, whatever.
Sure.
So that hunting time can be added to people's lives without taking away from the traditional sacred purpose of Sunday being set aside.
Exactly right.
Yeah, Alan, I'm glad you mentioned that, the idea of more time with kids in stands, because I know that is something that's worked well for me, and I have four boys ages 8 and under, and they're still just coming along and watching at this point. But my wife and I have always tried to slow down on Sundays, obviously attend church in the morning, and then in the afternoons being able to hunt is a nice option to spend some time in God's creation with my sons and just have a nice quiet afternoon and evening with them out there.
Yep, exactly right. And it's a great time to just, if you don't want to hunt, opposed to killing, and just go watch, see what's going by your stand, see what time the deer are coming by, and plan for the next weekend if you want. The lessons, in the stand, what kind of bird's that, Jacob? That's a Virginia creeper. What kind of bird's that, why is this going on? Why is that going on? What
Virginia creeper is a plant, Alan.
What's the
brown creeper?
Brown creeper. Okay. What kind of plant is that, Jacob? It's a Virginia creeper. What kind of bird is that? It's a poison ivy bird.
He needs the lessons here.
Sorry. Yeah.
Jacob, set your grandfather straight.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've been doing with that Virginia creeper.
I don't know. I'm shutting up now. You guys go ahead and take the show.
Yeah. Go ahead. But now, you know, I mean...
Good job, Brian.
The point about hunters, though, and not hearing from the hunters, definitely, you know, I mean... As a hunter, speak up, be active, talk to your local delegation.
Prince George's, Baltimore, and...
Yeah. Well, and just the other counties if they want more Sunday hunting.
And Howard.
Yeah.
And Howard. And some of the delegations are going to just flat tell you no.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, they have, I have to manage deer for all people, and the delegates have to manage for all of their constituents as well. So it's the way the game's played. So
very good. It is a puzzle, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
How this game is managed in the great state of Maryland.
Well, and it's not just Maryland.
Not just Maryland. No, you got you got the General Assembly, you got the county delegations, you got the department. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same in any state, though. So,
and I would add to that speaking up part that being armed with facts and data rather than
emotion,
just emotion. Yeah.
Yeah.
The more you can come and give a reasoned argument and present your case intelligently and logically, the more impact it's going to have.
We had a listener a little while ago. Send me a letter that he wanted to send to the Howard County delegation in support of Sunday hunting. And he said, what are your thoughts? And I said, here are things that I noticed in your letter that could be more effective. And I never heard back from the guy. So apparently my critique was not taken well. But having been down that road and know what it takes to get in touch with these guys and to convince them, you know, you got to have your facts in line. You can't just deal with the, I feel this and I feel that. Got to say X, Y, and Z, and that's let it fall where it falls. So, and it's a tough road sometimes.
Yeah.
So ask the guys that got the first Sunday hunt after 350 years what they went through in Maryland. So, all right, time for me to tell the folks about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Look, they've got a large selection of hunting supplies. They've got all the scents. They've got all the lures. They've got all the accessories for archery. They've got ammunition for firearms. They've got the Browning firearms. They've got the Thompson Center muzzleloaders. They've got Remington firearms. They've got H&R single-shot shotguns. They're not just all Browning. They've got everything you could need, want, or imagine if you are a hunter. And you could stop by at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne and talk to the folks at Clyde Sports Shop. You can visit their website, too. That's clydesports.com. Now, they do handle firearms. They handle fishing tackle. They've got your hunting and fishing licenses. They've got ammunition. They've got gunsmithing. And a great gunsmith, Lawrence, does a great job down there. He's done a lot of work for me. If you need any gunsmithing done, and scope mounting as well. They're open 7 days a week, including Sundays. Take all major credit cards. And the phone number, if you'd like to get in touch, is 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget that fishing hotline. If you're still fishing this late in the season, 247-3474. That's 247-FISH for Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be right back after the following messages.
Alan Ellis here for Hammer Hollow Outfitters. Looking for a place to hunt for quality deer or waterfowl? Hammer Hollow Outfitters has thousands of acres spread over 9 farms on Maryland's Eastern Shore. Brian Doyle and Ken Kirchner are dedicated to your success and your safety. Hammer Hollow has proven blinds for ducks and geese, and their farms produce big bucks year after year. Your chances are good for a fair chase mature whitetail. Visit their website, hammerhollowoutfitters.com, or call 410-903-2872. Hammer Hollow Outfitters, 410-903-2872 for geese, ducks, and quality bucks.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners.
Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linux spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linux spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linux now offer the new Linux Premium that looks better and last longer. Bay Linux of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linux is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linux spray-on bedliner.
I enjoy the memories of my hunts as much as I enjoy hunting. The best way to honor the game that you have taken is by preserving your trophy through taxidermy. My taxidermist is Don Travis of Travis Taxidermy near Chestertown. Don has mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, and my pronghorn antelope with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. With over 40 years of experience, Travis Taxidermy has completed specimens from wood ducks to whitetails for thousands of Maryland hunters to the exotic big game animals of Africa and Alaska and beyond. But he would just as soon see you with your buck or your youngster's first goose. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he's not. Nor is he the most expensive, but in my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have been transforming skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of your hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107. Stop by the showroom or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for over 40 years. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto. Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. By donating your doe, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Don't be fooled by cheap crab prices. That's bull stuff. NBS Seafood offers live Louisiana blue crabs during the off-season. Avoid the pre-steamed, mushy, flavorless crab scandal. Get your live crabs at NBS Seafood. You can enjoy your crabs tonight. Cook your own crabs to unlock that special flavor that fresh steamed crabs are famous for. Just 20 minutes in your steamer, so good your taste buds scream. We even have the crab spice for you. Call NBS Seafood at 410-271-3202. NBS Seafood now has Chincoteague and Pocomoke oysters in the shell or by the pint. Maryland crab meat, live Maine lobsters, live crawfish, wild-cut Gulf shrimp, and many fresh and flash-frozen delights, too. NBS Seafood has a roadside stand at 1223 Dorsey Road in Glen Burnie next to Jim Donnie's RV. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Friday, 2:30 to 6:30, Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 6:30. That phone number is 410-271-3202, 410-271-3202 for live crabs. NBS Seafood, no bull stuff sold here. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680. WCBM.
Okay, we're back. During that commercial break, Phil Norman had to leave us and attend some other duties in Howard County this morning. We are pre-recording the Outdoors and Radio Show today, so that's why you're hearing all of this and not taking any phone calls. Today is the first day of the deer firearm season, and most of us are in the woods, let's hope, and in a tree stand somewhere. I'm up in Cecil County with my grandson. At least that's the game plan, and we'll, you know, hopefully as the sun comes up here soon, we're going to be seeing some deer and getting some shooting. So that's the whole idea. But now you're listening to me on the radio, which is pretty cool because we can, through the miracle of modern technology, we can pre-record our show and bring it to you right now. Brian Eiler is our guest.
Unedited and raw, though.
Raw and unedited, yeah. This is the unabridged version. Sure it is. How many hands has this been through? We got John. We got Brian. We got station management. Yeah. We've got the sensors. We've got the sponsors that have to preview everything. Not really. Yeah. We're with Brian Eiler, Deer Project Leader, Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife and Heritage Service. And we've got Matt Wilson with us from Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. He's the chief cook and bottle washer, for lack of a that big long.
It works. It's been something different every day.
Every day, yeah. So, all right. We were talking earlier. I have issues with the licensing system. However, it's the law of the land, or it's the only system we've got. The Compass licensing system, with all its foibles and fun that you have to go through to get a hunting or fishing license here in the state of Maryland. But you are required to have a DNR ID. Is that correct, Brian?
Yeah, you do. And, you know, there has been some bugs with Compass, obviously.
Sure.
Any new system, you know, you will have issues.
Sure.
They are turning them around. But, yeah, part of the deal with Compass is everybody has to have a DNR ID, and that includes landowners.
Aren't required to have a license.
Right,
they do have
right.
to have a DNR ID.
Correct. You know, up till this year, landowners could take a deer, check it in, or turkey, and check it in as a landowner. They just give the last four of their social security
now
number.
Now it's a DNR ID number.
Yeah, now they have to get it. It's free of charge. It's a one-time deal. It's a permanent number like your driver's license
right.
number.
And that's your DNR ID number for your hunting license, your fishing license,
everything.
For your bear lottery permits,
yes,
for your trapping. Everything.
Correct.
All of the above.
Yeah. So if you're a landowner, you're out hunting today and you kill a deer and it's the first one you've killed under the new system, just beware that you should have a DNR ID to
exactly.
check the deer in.
Yeah. And by the way, while we're talking about private landowners, not only private landowners have to have a DNR ID, but the children of private landowners that are allowed to hunt without a license are required to take a hunter safety education
correct.
Course. Everybody has to have
yes.
a hunter safety education
correct.
Course.
That's correct.
So even if you're a private landowner, even if you never leave the farm and hunt on your own land, you still must have a hunter ed course, hunter
Unless
safety education.
Unless you meet the grandfather clause of
being
77.
Before, right? Yeah, 1977.
Right.
So old guys have been grandfathered in, but
yeah.
I still.
And if you are grandfathered in.
Take hunter safety course anyway.
Take it
again.
With your kid or whatever.
Exactly.
Exactly
right. So. By the way, we want to send a little shout out to our friends at Buck Bomb. Sponsor the show here. They have again contributed to the hunter education booklets that go out to, you know, every kid that takes a hunter safety education
yeah.
course, 70 some thousand kids.
Program.
That
yeah.
is a big program.
Yeah.
yeah.
Big program.
So we want to give them a little shout out for their help with that. So,
yeah. So you know, the Compass system will, from our standpoint, it will be an improvement once all the bugs are worked out
right.
and it's working properly. So, like I said, I know it's been some bumps in the road, but
yeah.
but overall, you know, it's going to be a better system. It's a very similar system to what a lot of other states use.
Sure,
and not having that permanent ID number up till this year really hampered us to a certain degree
yeah.
for some of our management. So,
and while we're on that, let's talk about checking in your deer through the deer check.
Yep, either telephone or internet.
Yep.
You know, you can
24 hours.
Within 24 hours. You also have to fill out the harvest report card. before you...
With your license.
With the, yeah, that comes with your license. Fill that out, the first part of it, before you move your deer from where you...
So once you, when you tag your deer in the field, you got to fill out the harvest card, too. And then you don't have to call it in immediately,
no.
But you do have to add that confirmation number
to
on that harvest card. That's what that harvest card is for.
Right. That's your record, and then if you're ever stopped or whatever, it's your...
And you it's know, checked.
It's
if you're stopped,
inventory.
If you're stopped,
right.
You know, it's checked, it's called in, or however,
right.
However the agents in the field... You know, you can be written up for not having that
right.
part of your license filled out.
Right.
So.
Correct. Still the same phone number, 888-800-0121, or you can go to gamecheck.dnr.state, which will take you to the Compass system,
right.
Where you can log in to check.
I just have Deer Telecheck in my phone.
Yep.
You know, and I just hit that and.
Yep.
And walk right through it. It's a very simple process. You just press buttons and, you know. Did you kill your deer today? Did you harvest your deer today?
Yeah.
You know,
so.
And tell ask you what weapon and what, you know, was it a doe, button buck, and antler deer, how many points per side?
Private
and
or public land.
Private
land
or public code, land. And be sure to have your land codes written down. Wherever I hunt, I always write the two-digit county code and the private land code somewhere where it's accessible when I'm checking in my deer. It's very simple to write it on the back of your license or write it on your license holder in Sharpie or something like that. And all the private lands that I hunt all have a list. And I have, you know, hey, this is Joe's place and this is whatever. So
it goes, you know, once you've done it for a while, you know, and you, like you said, you've done your homework. It goes pretty smooth.
It's quick,
we're expecting this to smooth out.
Smooth out a little bit, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, but the numbers are still the numbers, and you still are able to extrapolate and do your magic and get the numbers.
From a data standpoint.
The numbers are there.
It will be better data.
Yeah,
good. Compared to the old system, it actually will be better data.
Good.
Good. It's new. There's always issues with new stuff.
So. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. What else did we talk about off the air during the break, Matt? Do you remember?
We were talking a little bit just about the numbers of
The numbers of deer. Yeah, numbers are people would like to know numbers. So in the Doe Harvest Challenge and in Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry.
Well, let's see. Last year there was 3,105 deer donated across the state, which was slightly down, but that kind of goes along with
sure.
the overall harvest numbers
harvest.
We talked about.
Right.
And so far this year... We are around 800 to 900 deer reported so far donated, which is significantly up.
And some of the meat processors, the butchers, hang on to them, and you know they'll give you all of that at one time.
Yes, yeah, that's an important point to mention there. That 800 deer now doesn't mean that's all that's been donated. It just means that's all we've been billed for so far.
Right,
exactly. Many processors do all their billing at the end of the hunting season. So
right, and people have to understand about how the program works. If you donate a deer to the Farmers and Hunters Program or the Doe Harvest Challenge, there's no cost to the hunter.
Correct. You just
FHFH is funded, and it picks up the tab to the butcher for processing the deer. And I'm sure it's a standard cutter. It's all ground, or however you guys prefer it. I would guess mostly all ground.
Mostly all ground. Sometimes that depends on the church or the food bank that's receiving it. They might have a special event that they would like some different cuts for, but primarily all ground.
Yeah, okay. And so that fee is then billed by the butcher to you, and FHFH, the organization, then FHFH reimburses the butcher for his processing fee.
That's correct.
Okay, that's easy. And you've already got 800 some deer in this year so far.
Right, and typically this time
now
of year.
Now, that includes the Doe Challenge as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Typically this time of year, we've maybe been billed for like 400 or 500.
Really? So it's up that much.
And obviously with the firearm season here, and that's going to be a significant portion of deer harvested and donated. So we have high hopes this year for a record year, 3,500, maybe even approaching 4,000 donated deer, which would be an amazing jump in one season. We'll see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes.
Well, there's a lot of deer out there, so
it might work out. Well, in our case, you know, one deer in the freezer for me is enough now. I mean, it used to be three when the family was at home, three or four. And so I don't need to harvest as many, and I like to go. So, you know, what better option is there? You can donate it. My grandson, Jacob, you know, he's got his doe. He's filled his freezer. So, you know, his dad said, if you shoot another deer, we don't have room for it. Yeah. And so, okay, we understand that. Now, yeah. You know, Pa has room in his freezer, frankly, I make some private donations of deer, and, you know, that I got to...
Well, you know, when you're taking antlerless deer, it's helping with population.
Helping with population, yeah,
so
everything.
You're helping, you know, you're helping families that might need it, and you're helping with population management, and you're still out in the woods.
Yeah, typically, you get 40, 50 pounds of... the average deer, 100 pounds, 50 pounds of edible meat, basically. Quarter pound, that's 200 people.
That's right. About 200 meals from one deer.
From one deer.
It goes a long way.
Yeah.
And there's over 80 churches, food banks, soup kitchens, pantries across the state counting on this meat, and that number grows each season.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And you guys have the distribution network and everything all set up, ready to go. So, you know.
Those places come to the butcher, pick up the meat, and then distribute it through their weekly programs.
Right. Good. Good deal. All right. Well, I guess we're done. No, I guess we can't be done. Sorry. All right. Let's talk a little bit about, for a couple minutes here, you mentioned you have four kids.
I do.
You got them in the stand. At age what?
Not in the stand. Not in
not
the stand yet. On the ground.
On the ground.
On the ground.
Okay.
So all right. Twins that are 8, a 5-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
They're a little bit young.
So they're a little young.
A little
just
bit.
Come
yeah.
along and watch it.
A couple years. Now, you got
a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Yeah, and I know your 12-year-old's already taken some deer.
12-year-old's a deer killer.
Is he?
Yeah.
okay.
My 9-year-old next year will start.
Next year we'll start.
He's been out. But
sure. I mean, I heard a report the other day. A guy says, I got to send you a picture of my 4-year-old that killed a deer with a crossbow. Okay.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, and I got a story for you. So we're in Dorchester for Youth Day.
Yeah.
And we had a nice 8-point come up.
Yeah.
And when I was 12, it would have been a dead 8-point.
Yes, exactly.
My son said, I want to wait for a bigger one or a sika deer. So
okay.
Times have changed.
Yeah, they have. Well,
it's
amazing,
it
you know.
Yeah,
you know,
it's...
So. I'm in the stand last Saturday with Jacob, and, you know, it was a rough day. Now, one of the boys on the farm got one in the morning, and we didn't get there till, you know, getting stand almost 11:30. And we sat there all day, didn't see anything. The weather got rough, and, you know, right at the edge of dark, of course, this deer walks across the trail, and I see Jacob put his gun up, and I don't hear a shot. I said, what was that? He said, I didn't see it. And he said, oh, a deer just went across there. I said, okay, why didn't you shoot it? It's too small.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. not me when I'm 14, brother. I said, well, you know, you did a good thing, Jake. Okay. If you thought it was too small and it was by itself, it was probably a button buck.
Right.
So we'll let that one grow up, you know. And so, I mean, he's
it's pretty
it is,
amazing.
You're right. It is
the
different.
Maturity level or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
It's pretty impressive.
No minimum age to get a hunting license in Maryland, but you have to be able to take a hunter safety course.
That weeds them out. You know, I mean, that doesn't
sure.
really good
You know, 4-year-old, I don't know. I don't know how that happened, but...
It's really an advanced 4-year-old.
Yeah, so. It could be. Yeah, I mean, you know, I know 5-year-olds that are reading at a, you know, 8th, 9th grade level.
No
so, or not, well,
kids today
10, 11-year-old level.
Yeah, a lot mature, more mature
exactly.
than they were when we were that age.
Exactly
so,
right.
Yeah, I don't know, but... Well, typically probably 9 to 10.
Yeah, that's
something
about
like
right.
That.
Yep.
You know, PA, I grew up in Pennsylvania, so it was 12. We had to wait till we were
12. Yeah, me too. All right, when you go hunting or fishing on the Eastern Shore, be sure to stop by Chesapeake Outdoors on Kent Island for the largest selection of hunting gear, apparel, and fishing tackle. Chesapeake Outdoors has firearms and ammunition for deer and waterfowl, compound and crossbows by Matthews and Excalibur, outdoor clothing and camo by Under Armour and Drake Waterfowl. They've got hunting boots, hips, and waders, goose and duck calls, and for every accessory that you need for your hunt, and the friendly and knowledgeable staff can help you find what you need. Services at Chesapeake Outdoors include goose and duck picking, bow tuning and repair, custom arrows, scope mounting, and much more. They even have the Bubba Blade knives for ice and ice for your cooler. Boy, I'm really doing well with this, aren't I? For fishermen, you need it. They got it. From panfish to rockfish, you're covered at Chesapeake Outdoors, just off Route 50 East at Dominion Road, exit 39B on Kent Island. Call 410-604-2500. That's 604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors. Tell them you heard about it right here, and tell them I messed up their commercial. Alan Ellis is my name. You can use that. And when you go into Chesapeake Outdoors, we'll be right back after this.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. The Doe Harvest Challenge is now statewide. Deer hunters, by donating your female deer, you feed the hungry and please local farmers by reducing crop damage. Now you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and fill out the entry card. That's it. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. The 2013 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Grain Producers, the Soybean Board, Bass Pro Shops, the Farm Bureau, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, visit FHFH.org. Buck Bomb introduces new products that will attract deer and improve your odds. The new Ambush all-season deer scent comes in a larger can that gives you 33% more Buck Bomb for the same low price. Use it on every hunt. The Cornholer is a corn-based attractant that screws into the ground. Deer have to paw and gnaw to get it. That brings them back time after time. Now, Pathfinder is an invisible spray, except for your flashlight, that you spray on trees to mark your trail into your stand. You can't see it in the daylight, so no one else can find your favorite spot except you. It lasts for months until it slowly fades away. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. Visit your local Buck Bomb retailer or order online at buckbomb.com or call 1-866-850-6653. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart. Increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. Every now and then, you tag a nice buck or a pretty drake duck, or you get a chance to go out west or Canada, Alaska, even Africa on a big game hunt. Or your youngster bags his first deer or goose. Now, you want to preserve the memory of that hunt and honor that trophy. Don Travis has mounted thousands of game animals from around the world at his shop, Travis Taxidermy, near Chestertown. Don's mounted over a dozen ducks for me, my best buck, my pronghorn antelope, with skill and craftsmanship. I wouldn't have it any other way, and neither should you. I like visiting my accountant, seeing his mountain lion, his coos deer, his elk, and his wife's African lion, all mounted by Travis Taxidermy. Is Travis Taxidermy the cheapest guy in town? No, sir, he is not. Nor is he the most expensive. In my opinion, he's just the best. For 40 years, Don and his crew have transformed skin and bones into magnificent creations that will let you relive the memory of the hunt for a lifetime. Call Travis Taxidermy at 410-778-4107 or visit TravisTaxidermy.com. Travis Taxidermy, 410-778-4107, exceeding your expectations for 40 years. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. Home cooks like to feel like professionals. That's why high-end kitchens have been rising in popularity. Now chef wannabes are looking to fill those fancy kitchens with cookware that's worthy of the double stainless steel convection oven. And these days, that fancy cookware is getting bigger. Leading cookware makers are highlighting cookware with a professional appearance, and they're boosting the sizes of some items. Dutch ovens are moving from 7 quarts to 8 quarts. There are 11-inch pie dishes, dwarfing those traditional 9-inch plates. The large industrial cookware appeals to avid cooks who are more often men. They seem to like bigger knives. Kitchen goods stores say they put shiny 10-inch knives in the windows, and they draw in the male customers. Home cooks usually get 6 or 8-inch knives. What's the big deal? Experts say for some cooks, a big, beautiful pot evokes a well-organized image of themselves. Cooking large batches of food to freeze or feed a houseful of friends who will undoubtedly be impressed. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Mom, I can't do my math homework. I just don't get it. I'm no good at math. I hate math.
I've always considered myself a good mother, but when it came to my son Billy's math, I was at a loss. It wasn't that he didn't try, but he kept falling further behind and losing confidence. Then a friend told me about Math Made Easy DVDs. You can order any subject from arithmetic to fractions, percents, algebra, even calculus. Concepts are simplified in an entertaining way, so students enjoy learning at their own pace, in the convenience of home. It's as easy as watching TV. Best of all, it's affordable for everyone. Listen, in the frustration, call Math Made Easy. Call now for a 30-day risk-free trial. 866-569-MATH. With Math Made Easy, your child will always be prepared and one step ahead. Call now, 866-569-MATH. That's 866-569-6284. Or visit us at Math Made Easy.
Set your alarm clock to AM 680 WCBM. Tune your first car radio button to AM 680. Listen at work on WCBM.com. Listen all day and all night to Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Your favorite talk radio station is now on your iPhone. Go to the App Store and download the new WCBM app. Listen to your favorite host or program. Stimulating talk, breaking news, now on your iPhone.
Okay, we're back. Brian Eiler and Matt Wilson are here. Matt's with FHFH, and Brian Eiler is the deer project leader here in Maryland. So here we are on the first day of deer season, winding up the last segment of the Outdoors and Radio show. And we want to go out with a bang, so to speak. Brian, what's coming up?
Well, you know, we do regulations every 2 years. We entertain proposals, or we come up, you know, with our own thing,
right.
What we
internal
think
discussions.
Done, right? And so we do that every 2 years. This spring, we will do another one of those cycles.
The stakeholders get together in February at a meeting and float ideas and discuss
proposals. We'll have internal discussions first, you know, hash it out. Then we'll have a stakeholder meeting where we, you know, like you said, we invite different,
You've got a series of concepts.
That we present.
Goes to stakeholders. Yep. They add their comments, and then it becomes a series of proposals.
Yeah, it just goes through,
through
a process. And then ultimately, it goes to the public for public comment. We'll have, two or three public meetings. You have the website. You can comment on it. So I just encourage, hunters, be active, come to the public meetings, chime in on the website. We aren't, right now, I can tell you just early on, we aren't proposing internally. We aren't thinking about any deer changes. We changed the bag limit for antlered deer, to a statewide limit there a couple years ago. So we want to, give that.
That seems to be working.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to give some of those regs time to work themselves out before we make any more whitetail changes. So that process.
Anything about anything on Sika deer?
We're looking at Sika deer. We're having some more crop. We're having crop damage issues in Dorchester.
More of a population explosion.
Yeah, we're seeing that population expand. So we are thinking about maybe some Sika deer tweaks. They'd be minor, but maybe some Sika deer tweaks. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the waterfowl stuff, that's all federal. So, small game kind of holds its own. We don't have enough participation in small game to.
Yeah. The reg process will be for all, not just deer.
Everything.
All species.
Yeah.
So you might see some tweaks there as well.
Sure. How about trapping? Anything there,
Nothing off the top of my head. No. Okay. Yeah, nothing off the top of my head. But that's a good process, though. And public input counts.
Sure.
A lot of people think that it just falls on deaf ears.
No, it does not. I know that. I know that for a fact. Matt, you guys just came through your fundraiser. You had a good banquet up there in Hagerstown. Sorry I couldn't make it. I had to be here the next morning.
I know. Understand you said you were going to come, Alan.
Sorry to let you down. But it did help you a little bit.
You certainly did. You did.
Yeah, folks at Hammer Hollow Outfitters, ladies and gentlemen, are one of our sponsors. They stepped up to the plate in a pinch.
Absolutely.
And donated a nice hunt to the banquet. And we want to thank them for donating a goose hunt. Raised a lot of nice funds for farmers and hunters feeding the hungry. So, Brian and Kenny, special shout out to you guys.
Definitely. Yeah, that was a local team there in Western Maryland. Put the banquet on for that FHFA chapter there. I mean, that's just one of the tools that we try and encourage local chapters and coordinators to use, is to put on an annual fundraising banquet.
Yeah.
There's 9 chapters in Maryland, and each of those have 1 or 2 people as coordinators covering 1 to 3 or 4 counties.
Right.
So they raise support locally in all sorts of ways, privately, donations, churches, individuals, businesses, grants, and so
sure.
on. And then those fundraising banquets can certainly help. So.
Sure.
Not just here in Maryland, but we have 125 coordinating teams across the country in about 25 states. So we definitely encourage the banquet. And we'll have to definitely give a little shout-out to Outback Steakhouse of Hagerstown. They provided the meal there at that banquet.
Sure.
At no charge. They've done that now for about 10 years.
Outback has a great, charity for the hunting and shooting sports. I mean, they do.
They really do.
The fellow that was on the air a couple weeks ago, Dave Levitt, came from the Outback system. Dave now owns 4 restaurants, or co-owns 4 restaurants, 3 of the Delmarva Southern Cafes and the Black Lime in D.C. And he and I put together his concept. I'm just a promotion arm of Jerky for the Troops. So we want to just mention Jerky for the Troops a little bit to the hunters out there today. If you can spare a pack of jerky, we're going to pack it up and send it to Afghanistan. We've got money that we can use to ship. If you want more information, it's in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, or you can email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. We'll be more than glad to get you that information. And by the way, the listeners have been very generous with their donations of money for shipping. So, you know, thank you, all those of you who have sent money. People can contribute to FHFH if they want. FHFH.org.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it costs an average of between $55 and $60 per deer.
Yep.
To process.
And some are a little more, some are a little less.
Right.
You know, depending on the processor and the location. So, Jerky for the Troops is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, which is my email. Maryland Jerky for the Troops, P.O. Box 1402, Eldersburg, Maryland 21784. We talked to a butcher, one of your generous donating butchers, and they basically stepped up and said, "We're going to get you 50 packs of jerky." So, you know, that's cool.
Great.
Yeah. Brian, any changes in the crop damage stuff coming up in the
nothing formal at this point.
Yeah. You have one person pretty much, or one office pretty much coordinates that whole.
No, actually, that's managed at the regional level.
Is it?
So yeah, so there's actually three different people on the Eastern Shore that oversee crop damage, and then 6 or 7 across the rest of the state.
Okay.
So that's that's all handled, administered at the regional level.
And we want to make a note that folks who are on crop damage permits, FHFH accepts crop damaged deer through the local processor.
Right. Yes. They can donate those deer as well. Yeah. We encourage them to donate them.
Sure.
And that can even occur outside the regular hunting season, of course, with respect to having available processors that are open.
Sure, that are open. And you and anybody that wants to get in touch with you can do that.
Find out who they are and where they are. Yep.
I mean, there are some guys hunting today on crop damage permits.
Right.
You know, there really are. So we understand how that works. That whole system works. Our listeners, I hope, understands that. You know, farmers apply for deer depredation permits, or what are they called?
Deer management permits
on private land to cut down on crop damage that deer are famous for. And, you know, of course, the bottom line is in farming is, you know, more soybeans, more bushels of soybeans you can take off an acre, more bushels of corn you can take off an acre, and deer can devastate.
Yeah, it's about $7.5 million a year they estimate in damage in Maryland.
$7.5 million due to deer and agricultural damage, crop loss, so to speak.
Loss, yes.
Yeah. Mostly corn and soybeans, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah, and farming has gotten more expensive.
Absolutely.
Obviously, it's gotten very expensive.
Sure.
The price of diesel fuel, the price of fertilizer,
everything.
Like you said, the value of the crops.
Regulations, from federal and state regulations have made it more costly for farmers to do business, taxes, the whole deal.
Yeah.
Our buddy Jim Schillinger at Papa John's Farm has a number of farms, and his big business for him in the fall is the pumpkin business, you know, for Halloween and, you know, of course, fall and decorating and pies and everything else. And he was losing a tremendous amount of pumpkins to the deer. I mean, they eat pumpkins, they eat sweet potatoes, they eat beets, they eat radishes, they eat anything edible pretty much. But he was losing a lot of pumpkins, a lot of damage to deer damage, not only eating them, but stepping on them and, breaking them and that type of thing. So what he did was he planted a strip of soybeans around the edges of his pumpkin fields. And, you know, that's an investment, seed and time and everything else, but it did cut down on the damage to his pumpkin crop.
Right.
You know,
focus on the soybeans.
Yeah, let's focus on that 10-foot strip of soybeans around the outside and let the pumpkins alone. So
yeah, honey, you know, I mean, crop damage, relatively speaking, it's a small percentage as far as the deer that are taken. You know,
right.
We take 80, 90 to 100,000 deer a year with hunting, and crop damage is 6,000 to 7,000. So,
right.
You know, so it's not insignificant, but it's a small percentage of what the harvest is. And
that's the ones you know about.
So yeah, we hear that a lot.
I know. I know.
Yeah. So you know, I mean, it's an important program for farmers. Most farmers are still using hunting though as their control method, you know, and most of the deer, even during the crop, even on crop damage, most of the deer are taken during the hunting season.
Sure.
You know, so it's yeah.
Okay.
There's some misperceptions on the program out there.
Primarily hunters are mad at farmers and farmers don't like hunters. I mean,
it's basically like that.
I mean, that's.
Yeah. So, and it's, you know, and we try to work with both to try to get them together.
Well,
typical example.
I last week I saw a wounded deer. Drove into the property where the deer came from. Happened to be a riding stable, mm-hmm. a training stable. And I tracked down the owner and said to the lady, I said, "Do you have anybody hunting on your property? I saw a wounded deer." And he said, "No, but it's probably those idiots over there."
Right. Oh, my.
You know, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And I wondered where I was coming from. Of course, I was pleasant. I gave her a card, gave her a magazine, and she was very polite, very nice. But I'm not hunting there. I have no doubt I'll never hunt there.
You know. Unfortunately,
that was the perception she had of hunters.
Yeah.
You know, she said, "They're over there shooting on Saturday. I ask them not to."
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
On Saturday. Why would they shoot anything on Saturday?
Right.
I said, "Well, it was a youth hunting season on Saturday." Oh, I see. Yeah. So once she understood, she was a little bit okay with it. But
yeah. Well, and that's why we're farmers and hunters.
We're trying to bring everybody together. Exactly right.
Right.
Yeah.
Common effort.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that working out?
It's going okay.
I have nothing against farmers.
For sure.
I have nothing against anybody that tries to till the soil, make a living at all.
Yeah.
But there are some large landowners in some counties that are opposed to hunting but want all the deer killed.
Yeah.
And they're finding every other method to do that. And they just won't allow, you know, recreational hunters on. No sharpshooters or, you know, people in crop damage permits and things like that. Well,
we're strong advocates of the hunting method. I mean, that's the most effective tool.
Most effective all there.
And it'll remain that for
a long time. Sharing that you are going to donate the deer can help bridge that gap a little bit with the landowner.
We took 97 deer off a property that we were managing last year. 70 some of them were recreational, 20 some were, maybe 30 some were crop damage permits. We had to actually have the crop damage permit reissued. Mm-hmm. We're not there this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, how many do you want us to take?
Sure. So, landowner or farmer then feels as though the deer that are being taken are helping
exactly
to feed the hungry.
Yeah.
So he feels good about that off his land.
Yeah. You would think.
You would think.
You would think.
You would hope.
All right, guys, thanks. We appreciate you coming in today, and thanks to Phil Norman, who's wherever he is, who was here earlier, Brian Eiler, Maryland Department of Natural Resources Deer Project leader, Matt Wilson, Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry, heavy lifter. And we want to.
It's not as long as what you've been showing.
I know.
Brian.
We want to thank you and your brother Josh, who's also in the office, and your dad for FHFH and all the folks who donate. And we will be back next week with a live program, giving that muzzleloader away for the month of December. And we thank you all for joining us. Thanks, guys, for being here.
Thank you, Alan.
Yep, thank you, Alan, very much.
All right, guys.
Good luck today.
Yep, you too. Good luck with you and your family and your kids. And we're out.
Hunters, you could win a $300 gift card from Bass Pro Shops in the statewide Doe Harvest Challenge. You can enter every doe you donate during all deer seasons. Maryland is divided into three regions with 10 chances to win in each region. Just donate your doe through an FHFH deer processor listed in your hunting guide and